Hallelujah. Thank you for that song, ladies. We're going to be in the Gospel of John this morning, so if you'll find that and stand with me, John chapter 21. For our guest, we're going through the Gospel of John, and so that we're in chapter 21 means that we're getting close to finishing the book. And so it's been a blessing to be in John, and how God has used this in my life and in our church has been pretty awesome. And so yet again this morning, I think the Lord has a great encouragement for us. We're going to be in chapter 21. Let's begin reading in verse number, let's just start in verse 1. We're going to read all the way through verse 9, but our text is 7 through 9, but let's look at verse 1. The Bible says, "After these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias, and on this wise showed he himself. There were together Simon Peter and Thomas called Didymus and Nathanael of Cana in Galilee and the sons of Zebedee and two other of his disciples. Simon Peter saith unto them, I go a fishing." And by the way, that means a lot right there. When Peter said, "I go a fishing," I mean, what he's indicating is there's a lot of discouragement that I'm dealing with right now, a lot of confusion in my life right now, and the thing that I'm most comfortable with is fishing, and so I'm going to go back to that. Yeah, so then it says this, "They say unto him, We also go with thee." This is the disciples that were with him. "They went forth and entered into a ship immediately, and that night they caught nothing. But when the morning was now come, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples knew not that it was Jesus. Then Jesus saith unto them, Children, have ye any meat? They answered him, No. And he said unto them, Cast the net on the other side of the ship, and ye shall find. And they cast therefore, and now they were not able to draw it for the multitude of fishes. Therefore the disciple," this is our text, "therefore that disciple whom Jesus loved saith unto Peter, It is the Lord." So up until then, they didn't recognize that it was Jesus. And then when he said, "Cast the net on the other side of the boat," they hadn't caught all night. And then now there's a multitude of fish. The Bible says large fish in this net. This would have been, you know, a reminder of what Jesus did early on when he first called the disciples to ministry, and the same thing happened. And so John recognized, hey, this is the Lord. Now I want you to see what Peter did after he heard that John reported it's Jesus. "Now when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he girded his fisher's coat unto him," for he was naked, "and did cast himself into the sea." Now, of all the disciples that would do something strange like this, it would be Peter, right? It's not as strange as you might think, but it does seem that way. Verse 8, "And the other disciples came in a little ship, for they were not far from the land, but as it were 200 cubits, dragging the net with fishes." Remember, there's still a net that's loaded with fish. Peter forgot about that. Verse 9, this is really good stuff. Verse 9, "As soon then as they were come to land, they saw a fire of coals there, and fish laid thereon, and bread." By the way, that's breakfast. Men's breakfast, right here in the Bible. Amen. Do you know who prepared that breakfast? Amen. It was Jesus. Amen. Do you ever read scripture like that, Brother Larry, and wonder, where did Jesus get the fish? And where did he get the bread? You know, I don't know. I'm sure it was good, though. Well, we're going to talk about something Peter did this morning, and that we all need to do. And there might be some that are right there and you need this. And it's just simply this. Come back. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we need you this morning. And so I pray that your blessings would be upon the service. I pray you'd help us to be touched by you. And as we learned in Sunday school again, without you, we can do nothing. And Lord, we need you to touch us. We need you to move our soul. And so I pray you do that again this morning. Whatever the needs are this morning, I pray that your touch would be in the life of your people, starting with all the way right here with me in my heart, and then all of us that are here this morning, I pray that you would do a special work. And then, Lord, in the end, we want you to get the glory, so help us to glorify you today. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You can be seated. Thank you for standing. Yesterday, we got some new chairs, and these chairs are for the fellowship hall, the white folding chairs, and we found these. We've been needing some more chairs, and we have a big fellowship that we're going to be hosting in a few weeks. And so we've been on the lookout for some more chairs. We're running out of space in our fellowship time. And so we found these, and we're getting ready to go get them. But I wanted to make a stop at Starbucks before, you know, it was early. Well, it wasn't that early, but it was like 10. But I wanted some coffee. And so we pulled in. Now, it's Saturday at 10 o'clock at Starbucks. It was madness. It was like pandemonium. And so I'd already ordered my coffee, but I'm just looking for a parking spot so I can go in and get it. You know, I thought about it a few times after the fourth lap around the parking lot, just parking in the middle of the road, running in and grabbing my coffee and call it good, right? But thought maybe that wouldn't be a good idea. So I had plan B. And plan B was stopping in the middle of the road and saying to Caleb, you drive, I'm going to run in and grab my coffee. And so we went with that. And I told Caleb, hey, just right across the way, there's Barrows and Fry's. I want you to park there. And I'm going to go grab my coffee, and then I'll meet you over there. So I went in, I grabbed my coffee, my cup of ice, my coconut milk. So I have three cups, you know, all just for me, right? You go to Starbucks, you're going to, you know, you got to make sure you get, you know, the full package. So I got that, I got my straw, I have my phone, and I am loaded. So I walk outside to where the pickup zone was, and the van isn't there. Like, it's not there. So I'm like, ah, this was not difficult. I even pointed at it right there, and it's not there. So I'm like, okay. So I have my three cups, and I'm just wandering around the parking lot looking for the blue van. And I made a full lap around the whole parking lot, and he's not there. So then I make my way back to the place where the drop-off zone was. And I set my three cups down on the curb, and I'm just standing there like some weirdo. People are driving by, and I'm waving at everybody, you know. And I'm wondering, where could he have went? Maybe he made a wrong turn and got on the interstate, and he's gone, you know. And I called Melissa, and she wasn't too much help. Of course, I was venting a little bit. But and she goes, well, maybe he drove home. I'm like, why would he drive home? You know, that's even worse, you know. So finished that, and I'm just standing there 15 minutes, okay? And I'm starting to get nervous, like maybe like he drove away and he isn't coming back, or he got in a wreck, I don't know. I was thinking, what do I do? Do I call the police, you know, and tell them that my, anyway. So I'm trying to figure out what I'm gonna do. And then there he came driving up, and I was so like happy to see finally that he was right. I was like upset too though, you know. All of it was happening at once. And I get in the van and I'm like, where did you go? He said, Dad, you told me to park at Barrow's. And so Barrow's the pizza place on the other side? You know, like, oh, it's Burrows and Fries. And I said, Barrow's. And he obeyed me. He did what I couldn't be mad at him. It was my fault, you know. So I'm like, okay, the Lord knows. I said that to you to say this. There are times in our life when we go away from God, we get away from Him, and we're not where He wants us to be. We're not doing what He wants us to do. We're not living the kind of life He wants us to live. We're separated from Him. We're away from Him. And those are not encouraging times. Those are not the times when life is going well. What you'll find is when you get away from God, these are times of confusion. These are times often of discouragement. And we're looking for answers. But the further, like we said in Sunday school, the longer you're away, the further you're away from God, the less answers you'll find. The less peace you'll find. The less, you know, satisfaction in life you'll find. You'll find more and more emptiness the further you get from God. This would have been the feeling the disciples had. The disciples would have been confused about the departure of Jesus. They would have been looking forward to the coming of the Messiah, and Jesus was certainly the Messiah. The miracles and the message and all that Jesus was, as the disciples had walked with Jesus, there was no doubt in their minds that Jesus was the Savior. He was the Messiah, and they were ready for the kingdom. They had seen the triumphal entry of Jesus, and they were excited about all this. And like we said last time, they would have been confused and discouraged when Jesus went to the cross to die. And there would have been gladness when they saw him in his resurrected state, but they would have continued to wonder, what's the future? What's going to happen now? Nothing like we thought it would be is the way it's happening. And so Jesus is now off the scene again, and they're still remaining in their doubt, and they're looking for answers in life. And so instead of faith, instead of waiting, instead of just, like Brother Vaught said when he preached at the conference last week, just doing the mundane, but you know it's what God wants you to do, and letting God take care of the rest, just doing and being where God wants you to be, they weren't willing to do that. They were needing some answers. And so the best answer they could come up with was fishing. Fishing was what they used to be. Fishing was the life they used to have. They knew fishing. They understood it. They were comfortable with it. Jesus is gone, so let's go back to what we're comfortable with. Let's go back to fishing. And so Peter decided he would go fishing. He took the disciples with him. And like we said last week, anytime we decide to go away from God, we're not going alone. We're taking people with us. And so Jesus went back to the fishing. He took the disciples with him. And look what the Bible says. the last part of verse 3. It says, they went forth and entered into a ship immediately, and that night they caught nothing. And so this was what their efforts produced in life. It was nothing. And as they're standing and they're toiling, Jesus shows up on the scene, and he tells them to cast on the other side of the boat, and they do so. And John, through that experience, recognized that Jesus is now in their presence. And so he said the words, it is the Lord. Now, something happened in the heart of Peter as soon as those words were said. It is the Lord. Because the Bible says that he took his outer coat and put it on himself, and he cast himself into the water. Now, that whole episode seems strange. Why would you put your coat on and then jump in the water? That would restrict your ability to swim. But there's two things that are happening here. Number one, he put his coat on, and the Bible says that because he was naked. Now, this could have meant that he either only had his inner garment on, which in Bible times, this would have been a form of nakedness, although that word also means naked, exactly what the word it says. And so we don't know which it was, whether he was wearing his inner garment but didn't have his outer garment on, or that he was completely naked. We don't know. But here's what we do know. He put his coat on because he was ashamed of his condition. He was ashamed of where he had gotten to. Now he's in the boat. He's doing what's comfortable for him. He's fishing. But the whole process of him being on the water and fishing was Peter going back to what he used to be and doing what God had called him out of. So when he put his coat on, what he was saying and what this is representing is Peter being ashamed of what he had gotten to. And this ought to be touching to us this morning, church family, where when we aren't where God wants us to be, and we get away from God and go back to some of our old ways, doing some of the things that we used to do, and we get around Jesus, we ought to be ashamed about it. We ought to be convicted when we come to church. Why? Because we're in the presence of God when we're here. That is, when we open His Word and we declare His Word, He works in our hearts, but God teaches that He's in our presence. His Word teaches us that, and we feel it to be true too. But He pricks us and He works in us. He affirms us and He's guiding us along the way. But in that process, what ought to happen is there ought to be an ashamedness in us. There ought to be something in us that says, you know what? Where I am is not where I should be. And what I'm doing is not what I should be doing. And the condition of my soul is not where it should be. And so we show up, and God in His Word is being declared, but the Spirit of God begins to prick us. I'm talking about this Holy Spirit of God. As He begins to work in our heart and He begins to speak to us and tell us things like, you're not where you need to be. You have slidden away from me and you've gone back to some of the ways that I've called you out of. It's amazing how that happens too. And we show up and God works in us. By the way, our hearts are hard. Our hearts are like rocks. and we hear God's word, and he strikes our heart, and he speaks to us. And when we are broken, it's a relieving season. It's a relieving time. It's like a burden is lifted when we finally give it to God. And you remember those times when you finally stopped fighting with God, and you gave it to him. And the burden that was lifted is refreshing, and it's a blessing. But then what happens is we go back to this world, and we go back to the life that we live, and we put back on some of those baggage, some of the things we released and gave to God, we put it back on. And so when we come back to church, God speaks to us again about it, doesn't he? He speaks to us again about it. And he begins to direct us away from those things again. It's like a constant refreshing and renewing of our soul. How does he do that? It's because Jesus is here. And when we are exposed to him, we ought to be ashamed of those things that we've allowed in our life that have separated us from God. Well, Pastor, I'm trying to think of anything in my life that, you know, might be. You just stick around for just a few more minutes, and it could be that God will begin to reveal those things to you. Let's not pretend like we're perfect this morning. Let's not pretend like we don't have issues and things that gets a hold of our heart and pulls us away from God. And by the way, it could just be things in our mind. It could be things that we've allowed ourselves to get addicted to. And it could be things that we've surrendered before, and now we went back to it. And so the idea here is that Peter was ashamed. You think, well, why did he put the coat on? Because he was ashamed of his condition. But then it says that he jumped in the water. That's where it seems a little bit strange. Now, whenever you put the coat on, we can understand that. And we've been, how many of you have a dog this morning? You have a dog. Okay. So you ever come home and your dog, his tail is tucked and he's hiding, behind the fridge or something? And you're like, okay. What happened? You know, so he's ashamed, right? But he's hiding because he's not excited to see mom or dad because he's going to be in trouble. So Peter put his coat on because he's ashamed. We understand that. But you would think that he would sort of sink down in the boat and kind of scoot into the middle of the disciples and sort of like the dog hiding behind the fridge. But he didn't do that. He jumped into the water. Do you know what the implication of that is? Oh, this is good. He swam to Jesus. Amen. He jumped into the water to swim to Jesus. So it's like this. It's like, look where I got to. I'm involved with some things I should not be involved with. I've allowed some things into my life that I know God is not pleased with. I know he's not pleased with. And by the way, you show up to church and the preacher somehow, he starts preaching about it. And you're like, how did he know? He doesn't know, but God knows. And there you are, you're in the boat of your life. And you have that nakedness and you've allowed yourself to get to that place. And you should be ashamed of it. And you show up and God speaks to you and you are ashamed of it. And you might say something like this: I'm tired of this. I'm tired of this life. I'm tired of what I've allowed into my life. I'm tired of what I've allowed myself to come to. And like Peter, who's in the boat, he's went back to what he used to be. And he sees Jesus on the shore. Or here's the Jesus, that's Jesus on the shore. And he throws his coat on to say, I'm ashamed of what I've become. But here's where I am now. I don't want to stay here anymore. This what I've become isn't what I want to be. And you know what I want? I want to get to Jesus. Well, all the disciples want to get to Jesus. But Peter said, no, no, no. I want to get to Jesus now. I don't want to wait for the boat. We're trying to drag all these fish. Imagine you're the other disciples and Peter jumps into the water. You're like, oh, thanks for your help, buddy. It's like whenever mom says somebody needs to take out the trash and then all the kids are gone. Like, where'd you go? You know, well, Peter jumps into the water. All the disciples want to get to Jesus. They're trying to drag this fish and the boat is going along. But Peter said, I'm not going to wait for that. I want to get to Jesus now. Amen. Amen. He put his coat on. He jumped into the water because he wanted to get to Jesus. You know, you're like, how could this be better? I'm like, this is just what I needed this morning. I'm like, man, I've gotten away from God. And I am ashamed of it. And what I've become, I don't want to be anymore. These things I've gotten away from and now I've gotten back to it. And I don't want to be this anymore. I'm ready to get to Jesus. I'm ready to jump into the water. I'm ready to come back to him. And you know what you'll find every single time? This is where it gets better. You know what you'll find every time? That whenever you jump into the water and you swim to Jesus, that he's there waiting for you. He's there waiting for you, by the way, to accept you. Isn't that good? Like, he's there waiting for you to accept you. It's like you know, a table. I don't know what it would have looked like. I don't know why I think this, but you know those crates, those basket crates, and then, you know, like stumps. I know there was no crates in Bible times, but that's how I'm imagining it. And there's like a fire, and then there's crates and chairs and logs, and there's breakfast there. And Jesus is waiting for Peter to accept him back. But breakfast is there. It's as to say that Jesus, not just accepting him back, but to refresh him. And there's a refreshing that takes place. It's awesome. When I was in high school, my brothers ran away from home. My youngest brother, Gary, was 10. And my brother just younger than me was 13, Casey. And I was 15. And so we all three, us boys, were in the same room. And how they got out the window and I didn't wake up, it's miraculous. So they tied sheets together. Our room was second floor and it was 15 feet to the ground. They tied sheets together like a cartoon or a movie. Tied it to the bedpost. Crawled out the window and down the sheets and ran away from home. And they wanted to live with mom. My mom and dad had gotten divorced when I was 5. And Casey and Gary, they wanted to live with mom. And so they just decided, let's go. So they crawled out the window and they walked for 32 miles. The police picked them up. And then there was a big, you know, thing where the boys are going to go live with mom. And then it was myself and my sister. And we didn't want to move with mom. And my dad set us all down and he said, listen, I'm not going to split the four of you up. If these two are going to go live with mom, then all four of you are going to go live with mom. And so suddenly now I'm uprooted from my life and I'm moving to live with mom. And I didn't want to, so you can imagine my attitude was not very good. And mom, listen, I was a bus kid to church. That's why how I went to church. I rode the bus on Sunday mornings. I didn't even know there was Sunday night or Wednesday night. I didn't know that was a thing. Mom went to all church services. She went to Sunday morning, Sunday school, Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night. I'm like, we're going to church on Wednesday night? Why? Why are we having church on Wednesday, you know? And so I would go to church. I would sit on the back row. I would just put my feet up on the chair behind me, and I would just ignore the whole thing. I had a terrible attitude. And after about 6 months of that, my stepdad, Ron, he and my mom decided that it was so much turmoil in the home because of my attitude that I would have to move back with my dad. And so they packed all of my things in trash bags and put it all in the car, took me to dad's, and dropped me off and left. And so now, after having those months of living with my mom and being in church Sunday morning, Wednesday night, and having that spirit and access to all of that, what happened was I was back at dad's and I had that life back that I used to have and the life I thought that I didn't want to leave. But while I was there, it just took a couple of days for me to realize this isn't the life I want. The life without God. And I missed it. And so I remember after just a couple of days sitting down at a pizza place with my dad, and I said to him in tears, I just broke down and started to weep, 15 years old, you know. And I said to him, Dad, I want to go back and live with mom. And he said, well, you can give her a call and see if she'll have you. So I called Ron, my stepdad. And I said to him that I'm sorry for my attitude. And I said, if you'd have me, I'd like to come back. And I remember, I don't think I'll ever forget what Ron said. He said, come home. What happened here is Jesus was on the shore. The disciples had gotten away from him. They had went back to what they used to be. And you know what you'll find? When you're living a life as a saved believer, trying to follow God, but then going back to what you used to be, that when you get there, that you'll find that while you're there, this is empty. Amen. This is not the life that I want. Amen. This isn't what I want to be at all. And Peter said, in the boat, this isn't the life I want. Covered himself being ashamed. And when he saw Jesus, the Bible says he jumped into the water and he swam to Jesus. Because he wanted to be right with Jesus. He wanted to be close to Jesus. That was the life that he wanted. I don't want this life. I want a life with God. I want a life right with God. That might be where you are this morning. It might be that you've lived a life and you've been away from God. And you know that God's not in your heart. You know that he's not in your life. You know that you're not living where he wants you to be. And you've embraced and you've went back to some of those old things. And God is pricking you. He's on the shore and he's calling you. He's saying, come and dine. Won't you come back? Won't you come in a fellowship with me? Won't you come in and be with me? And there we are, in our pew, in our seat. And God in heaven is reaching out and he's calling you back to himself. And now you're sitting in the boat and you have a chance. You have a choice this morning to make that you can decide the life I'm living. I don't want to live this life anymore. What I've been doing, I don't want to do this anymore. I don't want to be this way. I don't want to have this kind of existence. You know what it's time for you to do then? It's time for you to go ahead and decide to jump into the water. Amen. And swim back to Jesus. It's time for you to get up out of your spot and come back to God. It might be the place for some of you this morning. You've never come to God in the first place. And in your heart, he's striking straight to the soul. He's cutting through all of the excess stuff, and he's getting right to where it really is, and that is this. You're not saved at all. I don't know you. We don't have a relationship, and what you need is to be saved. You know, the answer is still the same, though. You got to jump out of the boat, and you got to swim to Jesus. There's no easy way about it. And that's what we need this morning. We need to make a decision to come back to the Lord. We need to make a phone call. We need to, in our state, we need to acknowledge with shame that I've gotten to where I don't want to be. And I don't want to be here anymore. And a phone call needs to be made. And that phone call is Jeremiah 33:3. Call unto me and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. And we need to have a conversation with God that says, God, I've gotten to where I don't want to be. And I don't want to live this way anymore. What I've become, I don't want to be. And this path that I'm on, I don't want to go where it's taken me. Will you forgive me? God, will you accept me back? You know what God will say? He'll say, come home. Won't he? Come home. He'll say, come back. It's time for some of us to come back. Like, you don't have to come back. You don't have to jump in the water. You can do whatever you want to do. But I am here to tell you this morning, it's time for some of us to come back. It's time for some of us to acknowledge with shame. Let me say it again. It's time for some of us this morning to acknowledge with shame that you have gotten where you are not supposed to be. And you need to gird yourself with a coat. You need to launch yourself out of that pew and get yourself back to Jesus. And say, listen, this is where I want to be. And you know what you'll find when you get there? He's waiting for you. Amen. He's waiting to refresh you. Ooh, and the refreshment is good. Amen. I mean, when Jesus makes breakfast, it don't get better than that. Amen. And that's what's waiting for you. You just got to jump out and swim to him. You know, we see Peter and we're like, man, this guy's crazy. But what an example for us. And I just want to get back to Jesus. I don't want this life. I went back to fishing. I don't want this life. This isn't who I want to be. Oh, is that Jesus? That's what I want. That's the life I want. How did I get back to this? How did I get out here? I don't belong out here. Will you have me back? Come home. It's time for some of us to come back.